Thank you, Hazel. Thank you, Scotty. Those were some lovely hymns we got to sing tonight. Nice to see everyone. Welcome those of you people who are here and also online. We welcome you and thank you for coming tonight. Oh, she's got it already up there. Good. Tonight we're going to look at, it's amazing about the Word of God, by the way. It says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. It's amazing how the Word of God, even though despite it's held back, how many places it still appears, right? God has his ways, doesn't he? He has his way. You know what? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. We have no idea whose heart that, even in the Quran, whose heart that may touch because the Word of God is so powerful. We're going to look at three different things tonight. And by the way, the Word of God, it's amazing. Any subject we want to look at, we can find it in the Word of God. And the three we're looking at tonight is men pleasers or people pleasers, self pleasers, and God pleasers. And every one of us have been there or are there in one of those categories. I know I can relate to at least a couple of them. Before I was saved, I was number one, I was self pleaser. Sometimes we are men pleasers, we please other people. But what God wants is to want to have God pleasers. We're going to give you an illustration. I have a few verses on there, an illustration of each one of those three in the Word of God. And then we're going to look in the Word of God to see what God wants us to be instead of those first two. Okay, the first one, I'd ask you to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 15. I just have the last verse on there, verses 9 down to verse 15. And this is men pleasers or people pleasers. And we have one man and we know what his name is. It's Pilate. You know what? This man knew better and yet he still did what he did. Look what it says in verse 7. We're going to read in verse 7 of Mark's Gospel 15. And there was one named Barabbas which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude crying aloud began to desire him to do as he had done before. That is to release Barabbas. And of course, crucify the Lord Jesus. But Pilate answered them, saying, will you that I release unto you the King of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. He knew a lot of things, didn't he? And it says, but the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered, and he said unto them again, what will you then that I should do unto him who you call the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, why, what evil has he done? And they cried out, the more exceedingly crucify him. We know in a couple of other places in the gospel, he says, I can't find any fault in him. Look at verse 15. This is the man pleasers. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. That is what you call a man pleaser. Can any of us do that, even in our own Christian lives sometimes? Can we be men pleasers? Men pleasers. So now what does the Word of God say about what we should do? Go to, I don't know if I have it up there, Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. And this is Paul. Paul speaking, and listen to what he says. And Paul, we know Paul before he was saved, he was someone who hated the Christians. And he basically was seeing some of them put to death. And the Lord saved him miraculously. And of course, he turned them in the opposite direction. So we see Paul is no seeker of popularity. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Question asked. Or do I seek to please men? Question asked again. For if I yet please men, listen to this, I should not be the servant of Christ. That pretty well settles it all, doesn't it? That's what God expects of you and I, who are Christians. That's what he expects of everybody, of course. He said, for if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Here's another one, Colossians chapter 3, verse 22 to verse 24. Again, Paul is speaking. He says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart. What that means is having soul devotion to the task that we're involved in, but with singleness of heart, fearing God, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. So what we get there is what we do. We have a job. We should do it to the very best of our ability. But we should not. We should do it in pleasing the Lord, not just to be men pleasers. Sometimes we do that too, don't we? We get some brownie points. And sometimes we may do something to please whoever it is, not really happy in doing it. You know what? We're smiling at someone, and as soon as we turn our face, the smile goes. So that's the Word of God. It's not my words, it's the Word of God. So we see, first of all, an example of someone who was a man-pleaser. That was Pilate. And to content the people, he basically sold out the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing full well he had not committed any guilt, did not do anything wrong, and he released unto them a murderer, and he allowed them to crucify Christ. Not only that, but he had his hand in he said, and once he had, and he went and he scourged him to be crucified. Nice man, wasn't he? Nice man. Here's another one. Another verse that we goes on with men pleasers. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6 and 7. You'll have to look some of these up because I only have a couple of verses online behind me here, okay? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6 and 7. Not with eye, this is Paul again, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. It's amazing how we can pick up all these different subjects in the Word of God, isn't it? And they're there when we start looking for them. So we should be careful on who we're pleasing and why we are pleasing them. That's Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6 and 7. And then we can go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 to 6. Again, Paul is a speaker. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 to 6. I don't have some of them on there, so you'll have to mark them down. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness. This is about him when he was preaching to the people in Thessalonica, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. Do you know what, guys? It's a tremendous responsibility to put in trust of the gospel, because you know whose word we're preaching? It's God's word. And we need to be vessels fit for the master's use. Have I preached before, and sometimes on your own power? Yes. But we need to be in touch with God. We need to understand it is God's word, not ours. So I read that again. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God, which tries our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. What does that mean? It means excuse of greed or gain. God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, etc. So there is Paul again speaking. He says, you know what? When we're preaching, we need to preach the pure gospel, and it's from God, not from us. Because sometimes we can use flattering words. Sometimes we can use enticing words, and it's not from the Lord. So we see there men pleasers. I'm going to see if I can move that thing up now. And if I don't, I'll call up Mackenzie. But you know I'm not real techie. Okay, so we have two more. We have self-pleasers. And I can relate to that one, because before I was saved, especially before I was saved, it was all about me, myself, and I. Me, myself, and I. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13. This is about a man who was a Nazarite. A Nazarite. We're going to have a few little things to say about that in a few moments. We're going to read the scripture first. Judges chapter 13. Now this is self-pleaser. A self-pleaser, okay? Judges 13 verses 2 to 5. I'm going to read in verse... 2 to 5. This is, again, we know that I can't go into a whole lot of background, but it's about Samson. I'm going to read in verse 1. But it came to pass within a while after, in time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife. I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong portion there, Brian. Chapter 13, that's why I was reading. Okay, verse 2 of chapter 13. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God, a Nazarite unto God, from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. So he was one of the judges. He was a Nazarite. Turn over to chapter 14. Chapter 14, verses 1 to 3. And listen to what Samson did. Okay? And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and he told his father and his mother, and he said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And listen to these words. And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleases me well. Self-pleaser. Not only that, but this man was a Nazarite. He was a Nazarite. What is a Nazarite? A Nazarite's vow is taken by an individual who has voluntarily dedicated themselves to God. Yielded themselves to God completely. He was a Nazarite. What did that mean? It means that he was not to drink wine or any strong drink. We've already read that back in chapter 13. Not to touch anything that was dead. And number 3, not to cut his hair. And that's where he got his strength. So we see, first of all, we see Samson's mission. He was a Nazarite under God's authority. We see Samson's mistake. He saw a woman, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. We see Samson's misery. We know what happened to him at the end of the story. We don't have time to go there. So we see Samson's mission. He was called of God. He had a calling. Judges 13:5. We see Samson's mistake. He had a character that didn't match up with his calling. He saw a woman. He didn't listen. We see Samson's misery. We read in one verse, he went down. He went down. He had a companionship with the world. You know what it says in the Word of God? Love not the world, neither the things of the world. Can I point fingers? No. Have I been there? Yes. And that's why we need to be careful. That's why we need to walk with the Lord. That's why we need to walk with Him every day of our lives. So often we think, you know, we get saved and that's it. Everything's taken care of. God will just look after everything. He just works on us. But you know what? We have to do our prayer too, don't we? We have to do our prayer too. Because we can grieve the Spirit of God. We can even quench Him. So we see that what happened there with Samson. We could go to another fellow look at Luke chapter 12. And we're not going to read the story, but we know about the rich man who had all the Lord gave him a bumper crop. Luke chapter 12, verses 16 to 28. And you know, read in 3 verses, we see I and my 11 times. He was a self-pleaser. I, me, my. Never mentioned God once. A self-pleaser. Can we go there? Yes, we can. So we got to be careful of that too. Then we can go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. We're just going to read the 2 verses. We know what this is pointing to people, mankind in this day and age. It says there, this know also, that in the last days perilous times or troubled times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, and etc., etc. Do we know that's true? Yes, we do. We see the world today. And the world is full of it. And that's why we got to be careful we don't get one foot in the world. And we don't go there. Because then I want to go to a verse. Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 15. Verses 1 to 3. Romans chapter 15, verses 1 to 3. This is what God wants us to be like. Okay? We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Our most perfect example, the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't please himself. And you and I, that's what he looks at. There's another message we speak on is the things that God delights in. And I'm sure some of you guys can take that up. What he delights in man, and what he sees. And he sees all of us. He knows all of us. And we look at each other physically and we say, oh, yeah, well, cool. And, you know, we see how they walk and talk. But God looks at the heart. We know that. He knows our minds, our thoughts, our intentions, and all those things. So we see there what God wants for us. There's another one in 2 Corinthians, and I love these two verses, 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15. This is what should motivate us to live for the Lord. And I know there was a morning meeting here this morning. There was one down in Upton. And by the way, there was a lovely little baptism down there at the campground today. And the young people from here, they put on a lovely program down there. Travis and all the crew down there. It was really good. Very nice. And a young girl, 10 years old, baptized. You know, asked the question, so does baptism save you? No, she says. No. She understands it. I want to live for the Lord. I want to walk with him. Because I want to be with him for all eternity. She even had a little speech before they baptized her. Beautiful. So cute. So genuine. And a lovely, lovely time of course, of worship and so on too. And that's listen to these verses. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 and 15. For the love of Christ constraineth us. What in the world does that mean? It means that confines us, it holds us, it encourages us, it constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. Those who live, that means you and I who are made alive in Christ, should not live unto themselves, but listen to what it says, but unto him who died for them and rose again. That's why I believe morning meeting is the most important little meeting. Time when we can come to say, thank you, Lord. We've been all week long, we've been reading the Word of God. And that little cup fills up, and then it starts to what? Overflow. Spills over. You know what worship is? Worship is giving. It's not taking. People come at a worship service to get. We should come to give. Because it's one of the highest occupations that you and I have. It's giving from what? From our heart. And it's giving our best. And we have an example of the Word of God for that. That is Mary. Remember Mary at the feet of the Lord Jesus? Luke chapter 10, verses 38 down. She was at his feet. Number one, she loved her master. She longed to be in his presence. She listened to his word. And she learned how to worship. How do we know she learned how to worship? Go to John chapter 12. Remember after the Lord raised Lazarus from the dead? And the three of them were sitting there. What was Mary doing? She had an alabaster box. Very costly. And she anointed the feet of the Lord Jesus. What is worship? It's giving your very best. And it should be costly. That means we should be prepared when we give to the Lord. Could also speak also monetarily too. Worship is giving, isn't it? Giving from the heart, giving to the Lord. Amazing thing. So what we say there, I love those two verses. For the love of Christ constrains us. It forms the conviction. It formed the conviction in Paul long before this. And that's why he says, you know what? That's why I serve God the way I do. because of the love of God constraineth us, because we judge. We are convicted that if one died for all, then we're all dead. He understood that. And he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Beautiful verses, something we should underline in our Bibles and go back there time and time again. How much time have I got left? We're going to go into the last one. Last one, the God pleasers. God pleasers. Here's an example of the God pleasers. Well, I ask you to turn to Genesis chapter 5, verse 21 to 24. His name is Enoch. Enoch. Okay, Genesis chapter 5, verse 21 to 24. We don't have it up there, but I have the next one we're going to read in Hebrews chapter 11. Genesis 5, 21 to 24. And Enoch lived 65 years. That's quite a statement. I believe that's when Enoch, he wasn't even saved. Now, I'm just saying that. Possibly unsaved, because look at the next. And he begat Methuselah, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. I'm sure you already read that. 300 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God. I wonder what kind of a walk that was. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch was a candidate for the rapture. He was a picture, basically, of the rapture in the Old Testament. And Noah? Noah was a picture of the Jewish remnant that came through the tribulation. Isn't that beautiful pictures? God does not believe, and some people don't believe in the rapture, even Christians. God has pictures for us everywhere, doesn't he? Enoch, picture, candidate for the rapture. Noah, a picture of the remnant, the Jewish remnant that comes through the tribulation at the end. Of the tribulation. So wherever we see Enoch, I want you to turn now to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. And this is what it says. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And he was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, listen to these words, he had this testimony. Remember his walk? He had this testimony. I wonder what God thinks of my testimony. He had this testimony that he pleased God. Wow. That he pleased God. And listen to these words, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so often we speak about believing and faith. And sometimes we may take it a little lightly. Sometimes we may not understand it. A lot of times we quote Acts chapter 17, verse 30. All you have to do is believe. That's what the jailer said. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Do you know that jailer? He already understood what the word believe means. How do we know that? I believe there's three ingredients to the word faith. Number one, knowledge. Knowledge. What do you mean by knowledge? We must know that, first of all, that we are sinners. We must understand that we are sinners. That God gives facts that we are sinners. And that's in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 to 19. You can read it yourself. There's none good, no, not one. And then verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is disqualified. The next fact is the fact of God's love in the gift of his Son of our sinnership. His Son died for our sins. We must understand that. And we see that in John chapter 3, verse 16, and umpteen dozen other verses with God's love. And for God so loved the world that he gave. And the last one is the fact of salvation purchased and offered for acceptance. It is all being supplied. It's all there for us. And what do we have to do? We have to accept it. That's what it says in John chapter 1. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become a child of God, even to them that believe on his name. So it's believing and receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, accepting what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. So number one, knowledge. Number two is we must have assent or agreement to those facts. We must agree with God, just those three facts, that we're sinners, Christ died for us, and he has made a way for us to accept. That is what repentance is, isn't it? A change of mind. Repentance towards God, it's agreeing with God, what he says. So number one, knowledge. Number two, having an agreement with God on the facts that we already know. And thirdly, we must commit ourselves, or we must receive the Lord Jesus as our Savior. We can have the first two and still not be saved. We can understand that he died for us. I was like that. That's why I'm saying these things. I could tell people how to be saved, but I was not saved until I was 31 years old. Why? Because I never received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I never accepted those facts and committed my life to the Lord Jesus until 1982. And so that's why we're breaking that down. There's all kinds of different definitions for faith, but sometimes, and you know what it says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I already quoted that. That's why the gospel is so important, and that's why when we speak to someone, we make it very clear that they need to know that they're sinners, Christ died for them, and they need to accept God's salvation free. Because we have one verse in John 6, it says, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Come to the Lord Jesus and say, Lord, I'm coming to you. I believe what you say, and I accept that from you as God's word. So we see what faith is. Let's go to a couple of verses. Look what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 8 and 9. This is basically clarifies those who are not saved. It says, Romans chapter 8, verse 8 and 9, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, Paul again is speaking, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That pretty well puts it black and white, doesn't it? Born again means to be indwelt with the Spirit of God. We see that in John chapter 3. You must be born again. You must be born of water and the Spirit of God. I believe the water, again, is the Word of God. It can speak about the Spirit, born of the water and of the Spirit of God. So we'll read that again. Romans chapter 8, verse 8 and 9. So then they that are in the flesh, those who are not saved, cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Listen to these words. Because we keep his commandments, and we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Sometimes we wonder why God doesn't answer our prayers too. Let me read that again. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Remember Enoch? He had a walk with God, and he had this testimony to please God. Can we bring that into our lives? Something to strive for? Something I need to strive for? And maybe you? Some very convincing verses. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Again, I love these two verses. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear or reverence and respect for who God is. For it is God which worketh in you both to do the will and to do his of his good pleasure. We see those two verses. First of all, development, working out your own salvation. What does that mean? Is God has given us tools. He has saved us. It's like that young lady who was baptized today. She is saved. She is indwelt by the Spirit of God. She has a whole company of believers around her, and she has the Word of God that God says, work out your own salvation. Take those tools and what? Develop spiritually. And then what's the next verse? Because you had the developer, it says, because it's God who works in you. We ask God to help us. Will he help us? He most certainly will. Remember why I always those three little... Number one, we have to desire. Desire to live for the Lord. Desire to walk with the Lord. Walk in holiness, honesty, and so on. I have a desire. Number two is determination. I'm going to do it. I will. And number three, discipline. Taking time each day, steal it from the world, and so on, and say, Lord, this is your time. And I'm going to be listening to your word. Remember what Samuel said? Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And when we open our ears, God will speak to us if we really mean it. He will speak to us. What a wonderful promise he gives us. So we see there a purpose to achieve, that's development, and a power to receive. That is God who works in you, if we allow him to do that. It's a wonderful thing. What about Matthew chapter 7 and verse 5? This is the Lord God speaking about his son. Listen what he says. That is the Mount of Transfiguration. While he was yet speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. God pleasers. That's his son, who was a perfect God pleaser. Enoch, as human, was a pleaser of God. And that's what you and I need to do too. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 to 10. Paul again is a speaker. Colossians 1, verse 9 and 10. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That was Paul's prayer and the other men with him. He said, I'll read that again. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, of the revival and the things were going on. He says, we do not cease to pray for you. It's wonderful to have people praying for us. And you know what? When I went up to Quebec that time and there was a number of people praying, you know what? I could feel it. Prayer is a tremendous tool. And we desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And one last verse, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. This is Peter speaking now. He says, rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart. That is your control center. Let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible quality of a gentle spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. These are verses we should mark down, because so often, you know what, we can get pretty rough along the edges. We can get kind of brutal sometimes, and so on. And that's why God gives us the Word of God. He says all Scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable for our doctrine, that is what is right. For reproof, what is not right. For correction, how to get it right. For instruction in righteousness, how to keep it right. That the man of God or woman of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Made perfect, spiritually mature, developed, and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We have the tools. We have a meeting here, a meeting that God has blessed. Many gifts and so on. And we need to encourage one another. We need to pray one for another. And we need to pray that the enemy does not attack, because he's very prevalent. And you're starting to see more and more of that. So we need to pray one for another. We need to encourage. And we need to be those who have a desire to be a God pleaser. Be a God pleaser. We don't want to go near those other ones, men pleasers or self pleasers. And how do we do that? We stay in the Word of God. We stay with other, linked with other Christians and so on. Pray the Lord bless us. Just maybe a few little thoughts. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we bow in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that we can approach thee because of what your Son has done for us. For we were dead to God, spiritually dead, and yet we were made alive in Christ. So, Father, we have a relationship with our Father and with his Son. And we thank you for that. We are children of God. We heard that this morning. What a tremendous privilege we are. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. The world does not know us because it did not know him. They crucified him. And Father, we just pray that you would bless each one here tonight. Pray that you would encourage them. If there's any here who are not saved, we pray the Spirit of God would convict them of their sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. And Father, that even tonight they would call out to the Lord and say, Lord, save me from my sins, and I will live for you. Part us with thy blessings, we pray. Take us home in safety, for we ask it in the wonderful name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.